Well, the title of my message this morning is Case in Grace, A Miracle in the Works. I can tell you that this has been one amazing week for us. Everything's gone on, and of course, you're here today. You've been following, been supporting, been praying for us, and we really do appreciate that very much. You know, last Sunday was a good day. It was a good day. It was a short, encouraging message that God had given to me to preach that, you know, I knew it was just to encourage people. It was to help people in their moments, just to let them know that no matter what it is that you're facing, that God's there. And the title of my message was, God is in Every Storm. And I can tell you that I had no clue last Sunday morning about the huge storm that we were going to be facing in less than 24 hours from that moment. I mean, Sunday was an awesome day. It was a family time. We were resting. We were just enjoying with the looking forward with anticipation, because we knew that Kevy was going to go into the hospital that night and be admitted, and then early in the morning be induced into labor. And we were excited about having little Case and Grace join us. Sunday night, Kevy went and got checked in, and everything was great. She's laughing. It was jovial. It was just a peaceful, happy time full of anticipation. Early Monday morning, they start the induction of labor to induce her, and Vita's up there at the hospital, and Kinsey gets up there, and everything's going smooth, not any problems at all. I'm coming up there just a little bit later. Me and Katie are in the car, and in the truck actually, and we're almost right in front of the hospital whenever we got a call. Vita said they've just taken Kevy back for an emergency C-section. The baby is down. Didn't know exactly what involved, what it was meaning. Pulled in the parking lot, got into the room, and there was Vita and Kinsey and some family there, and we don't know what's happening. She said Kevy was great. She was in the bed. There was no problems at all. A nurse came in to check an IV, and then another nurse came to order a different IV because that one wasn't working or something, you know, similar to that. Then Vita said just a whirlwind in just a couple of minutes. They're putting oxygen on her. Next thing you know, they're wheeling her out to emergency surgery. And if you know Vita, she supports her children, and she needs something. She needs an answer. She got out in the hallway and found a OR nurse, and she asked her what's going on, and they said, we're taking Kevy to have an emergency C-section. The baby is down. Now, what that entails and what that means, you know, you just have to assume at that point, well, the baby's down. The baby's heartbeat slowed down. Something's wrong with the baby is all we knew, but didn't really comprehend what was taking place. Time ticked so slowly. They're outside the waiting room, outside the operating room, out in the hallway. Larry, the father, and then, of course, Vita. Kevy's back inside, and we have no news. I get there. I go down the hallway. I join them, and we see the hustle and bustle through the windows and things going on, but nothing happens, and time ticks and ticks and ticks. And you know the baby's already out by now, but no word, no messages, nothing coming to tell us anything about it. And so we knew that something severe is happening. Finally, the doctor that delivered the baby, Kevy's OB, comes out, and very somber, very emotional. You can tell that he's just been blindsided. This is not anything what he was anticipating to take place. He's been back there this length of time. He tries to tell us what's happening, and tells us that Kevy suffered a severe sudden placenta abruption. That's where the placenta tears away from the uterus, and the uterus, they're actually put together by just a string of blood vessels. It is those blood vessels that hold that to place, and that's what feeds the oxygen, the blood, and feeds the nutrients, feeds everything to the baby. It is the life support system for that baby. And when it suddenly tears off that way, the life support is gone, the oxygen's gone, the way for that baby to live is not there. And that's what the monitor showed. There's something happened. Well, they did the emergency C-section, he said, and as they got the baby out, the baby had no heartbeat. They began to tend to the baby and began to do chest compressions and CPR, and worked on this baby, and it took 20 minutes of CPR before they were able to get a heartbeat. So for 20 minutes, little Case and Grace went without a flow of blood, without the flow of oxygen throughout her body. You know, the doctor's just being as gentle and kind as he can. You can tell he's upset, but he lets us know that he can't tell us that little Case and Grace is going to survive. he had this same thing happen just in January, and I asked him, I said, did that baby make it? And he said, no, baby didn't make it. He said a team from Cook's Children's Hospital, a special transport team, a critical care unit, they're coming right now. They were en route. And they got there, and so they were in the back, and they worked on baby Kaysen for well over an hour. They've moved Kevi. Now, during this time, Kevi is, you know, she was sedated. She was out for the surgery. She's unaware of what's taking place. They've got her into her room and getting her settled in, and she's beginning to kind of come out of it. Larry and Vietnam, they begin to tell her what's happening, what's taking place, and what's going on. And of course, it's a very emotional moment. Everyone in the waiting area, everyone in the room, I mean, there's just tears, where there's sadness, there's this, this is happening. But let me tell you something that took place. As that doctor gave this news to us, and he got up and he left, as we're sitting in that hallway, Vita, man, she is a great lady of prayer. I mean, when you got a need and you need some authority taking over a situation, Vita's dynamic when it comes to prayer. She gathered everybody in a circle very quickly, just took the lead on this. She said, okay, we're going to pray right now. And she just began to bombard heaven. She began to declare the health and the safety of that baby, begin to declare the promises over that baby. As Vita began to pray right there in the hallway, as I was there and we're holding hands, I'm telling you, God just so quickly and powerfully and assuredly whispered to my ears. He said, I told you yesterday that I am in every storm. He brought that message that he had gave to me back to me full force. God is in every storm. He told me yesterday. He said, I told you yesterday I would be here. I will be in every storm. I'm telling you, there's a peace that came over me, knowing it's just like your heavenly Father, just a big, powerful God just wrapped his arms around you. He said, I'm here. Told you I'd be here. I'm here. Now, we're in the dark. The reports we're getting are not good. We still don't know, but we're just praying and we're believing. And I'm looking for Jesus on those ways. We're doing that because as I was teaching this message last week, as God was preparing this word for me to deliver, he brought to me the story of Jesus and the disciples when they fed the 5,000. After they fed the 5,000, and he sent the disciples, he gave them instructions. He gave them his will. He says, get in the boat and go across the lake. I'll meet you on the other side. I'm going to send these multitudes home. So the disciples, being obedient, got in their boat and they began to go across the lake. As they went across the lake, it says that a strong wind came. The waves got huge and large and dangerous. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 24 through 27. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But look at verse 27. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. I'm telling you, that word came to me in the hall. God is in every storm. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Because in that teaching, as God is showing me the scriptures, as I was preparing for last Sunday, he showed me, he said, listen, those disciples, they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And even though the storms and the wind and the waves were coming against them, they stayed the course of what Jesus told them to do. Had they got afraid, had they allowed their faith to wane, had they made it to such a point that they changed the course of their boat, perhaps turned around to go back to where they came from, to go to a closer place, anything that they would have done to deviate from the will of the Lord, they would have missed Jesus in their storm. And that's the enemy's goal, is to cause you to miss Jesus in your storm, to make you change course. Remember that someone who's not full of faith, a double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways. And we know that the footsteps of a godly man, that they're ordered. So in this moment, I'm determined to stay the course, to say trusting in the Lord, to believe his promise regardless of what we see, to look at every single moment for my God to come walking on every single wave of that storm. And that's what we did. We went into the room with Kevi and the Cook's Children specialty team. They wheeled baby Kaysen in, and she's in this plexiglass mobile life support system, has a little light in her owner. She is white as a ghost. no signs of life to her as the machines are doing everything for her. They got a little window part of it open, a little portal open, where they have to maneuver Kevvy's bed and pull it up forward and push this around and maneuver things to get this baby as close to Kevvy as they can. And so Kevvy can kind of sit up. Remember, now she has just came through a major surgery, being cut open to get this baby out. But they wheel her up to her and prop her up, and she's able to reach her hand in and to touch little baby Kaysen that she has waited for all these months, that she thought she'd be holding at this moment. And as she's there and she's touching this little hand, the lead of the team just told Kevvy very bluntly, just let us know, said, little baby Kaysen, that here with what she's been through and the condition she's in, she will not survive. They basically are bringing her in so that Kevvy can say goodbye, to see her once and to say goodbye. And they load her up in the ambulance to take her to Cook's, and Larry goes in the ambulance with her and me and V to follow. Let me tell you that as that news comes out, it's like a brick hitting you. Your little grandbaby, your little daughter is not going to survive. But I'm telling you that, again, every time the word of a bad report would come to me, God would say, I'm in every storm. I'm in every storm. And we just had to trust her. It's the only thing. What else do you have at that moment? The doctors can do nothing. And we just trust our Heavenly Father, and we begin just to believe for everything that He said. And so me and Vita, we get to Cook's Hospital, and they get Kaysen up to the room, this intensive care unit, and they get her, and we get up to the room, and it's just, man, I mean, every side of her is surrounded with medical staff. And they're doing everything in the world that they can do, and they're doing every test. They're checking every number. Now, the one thing that they did do is when the CPR happened after 20 minutes, and they did get a heartbeat, her heart did beat on its own. So she is beating her own heartbeat. Even though the machine's breathing for her and everything else, her heartbeat is beating on her own. We took something positive out of that. But the doctors are looking, and what happens is whenever you're out of oxygen, whenever a baby, like anybody, but this particular case, a baby out of oxygen after a certain amount of minutes, the body, in a chance to survive, begins to break down the proteins and muscles in the body trying to supplement that lack of oxygen. And what it does is it produces acidosis. It produces an acid in the body. It's a byproduct of it. That acid begins to eat away and to attack the muscles and the organs, and it causes internal bleeding. Little baby Kaysen has this war going on inside of her that was to attempt to save her life, is now producing this acid that is eating away, and she has internal bleeding all throughout her body. Now, they've got oxygen, they've got things, they're trying to get the blood gases and things reversed, but the body is still producing this acid, and it's such a detriment to her. Her pH balance that should have been at a 7.4, they said at 7.1, that's a very serious place. Well, it's at 6.6. It is super, super critical. The doctor is just a wonderful doctor that was there that morning, and she came over to us. And she kind of began to talk about everything that's going on in Kaysen's body. And she just told us, she said that Kaysen is not going to survive. It's not going to live. I said, have you seen babies? I asked her, I said, have you seen babies in this condition coming here before? And she said, many times. I said, have you ever seen one of them survive? She just kind of put her head. She says, never. There's no medical reason. There's no medical way possible for Kaysen to survive this. I'm telling you, another storm, another big wave just got through hitting us. But I'm telling you that God is in every single storm. Here we're looking at her and the problems are so numerous. It's so hard when you look at her and you hear all the things going on that's going wrong everywhere to even know how to start praying. Well, we're just praying for life. And let me just tell you that Facebook at this moment was great for a time like this. We created that prayer and update page to make it easier on us to get the word out to people and not have to text people individually. And I'm going to tell you that thing began to flood with people joining that page, and people began to pray, and we began to get texts and calls, and we knew that all over the world people were lifting her up in prayers. And I want to tell you something, that was such an amazing moment to know that all around people are bombarding heaven for her behalf. So here we are Monday. We're in this intensive care. Kevi cannot even be there. She's having to be back at the hospital. She can't be released. Larry's there. Me and Vita are there. We're looking, and I'm telling you, throughout the day, we're looking for anything, any little sign, something to hang on to. One of her blood, the pH number, it slowly crept up. And when I mean crept up, you know, it's 6.6. It became 6.6 something. It wasn't hardly an elevation at all, but it was something. And we looked at it and said, God, you're doing something. We're believing for something. She had a discoloration to her, and her toe, one of her particular toes, was purple throughout that morning. When the doctor came in a little bit later, you know, an hour or two later, and was looking at that toe, that toe that was purple was now pink. And she was kind of, wow, taken back a little bit by that. She looked at Vita. She says, this toe that's purple is now pink. She says, I don't want to give you any false hope or anything, but let me just tell you, keep praying. And Vita looked at her and says, I've never stopped. And she kept praying. The neurologist came in to assess this baby. Now, of course, they've got her hooked up to just all these brain leads and things. Let me tell you, these leads that were on her skull, because of the internal bleeding, let me just tell you how bad this was. Her internal bleeding, this acid that was eating her body away, that's causing all this internal bleeding, that when they would just take a lead, and you know how it has the little adhesive tape thing, and you'd stick it to someone's skin, when they would stick those leads to her head, it would begin to bleed out of that little place where it came. They couldn't get the leads to stick, and so they had to epoxy them onto her skull, onto her scalp, to be able to check her brain waves. That neurologist comes in, he knows the baby's been down for 20 minutes and not expecting a lot. He begins to kind of manipulate her arm or her leg a little bit, putting some pressure there. And man, she raised her arms and her legs up in response. And he turned around, he said, I didn't expect that. He said, I didn't expect anything. But yet there was a response, there was movement. It was another thing that we're looking at, and we're seeing God is on the throne. God is doing something here. No medical profession there, a professional expected for her to survive, but I'm telling you, the prayers went up and we were filled with faith, and we were surrounded by friends filled with faith. And I'm telling you, in the middle of a storm, that's a good place to be, is around people with faith. We made it through Monday. We made it through Monday. We're alive. You know, we're alive, and Kaysen's alive. She's surviving, and we're there with her, and we're excited about it. We didn't anticipate making that night, according to the doctors, but we're there, and we're looking forward to Tuesday. Well, let me tell you, Tuesday came, and it had a whole day full of challenges. No one is still, you know, at that moment, has said anything different to us about Kaysen. No one says, in the natural, this baby cannot live. It just can't. Well, I'm going to tell you something about Tuesday. This is another step. This whole thing, God has prepared us for this storm. He prepared us with the sermon. I thought, Lord, you prepared me for the sermon with God is in every storm. You let me know ahead of time. And I thought, man, that's just awesome. But listen to me. As I begin to work on this message and begin to look at this testimony, God began to reveal to me, man, so much more. Kevin, I've been with you long before this storm. I've been with you long before that Sunday that I gave you that message. Back in February of this year, God began to talk to me and deal with me about fasting and about calling for our corporate fast for our church. And so we called for one in March. We called for it to be, and this is a little different. I've never done this. Usually we call for a fast, we'll say, okay, Tuesday, that day, you know, we're not going to eat a drink, you know, just drink water, and we're going to, instead of eating, we're going to be spending that time prayer, and we give them a list of things to pray for every Tuesday. Well, this particular time, I felt impressed to start the fast on Monday afternoon and go to Tuesday afternoon, a different time frame. But I'm telling you that the reason that God called us for this fast, because he's really impressed upon me that some things in this world, they don't come except but by praying and fasting. And God knew the spiritual battle that we were going to face, and so he had us fasting and praying before the storm. Listen, he had us fasting and praying before this storm. This is God. This is a loving Father directing us and getting us in position for our victory. And this was not an accident. As God began to teach me about fasting and help me to prepare to instruct the people about it, one of the things He really impressed upon me was the story of Daniel. And you know the Daniel fast and the story of Daniel. But Daniel was called to went to the Lord in prayer and fasting. It isn't that he intended to fast for 21 days. He fasted and prayed for an answer from God. It took 21 days for that answer to come. For 21 days, Daniel fasted and prayed. When the answer did come and the messenger came to him, he said, "Listen, Daniel, the very first time you prayed, I was on my way with the answer that day. But I have been in a spiritual battle for 21 days. And it took 21 days, and he actually had another angel that came and helped him to relieve him so that he could get to Daniel. I'm telling you, the things that happen in the spiritual. And if Daniel would have stopped praying at any one of those 21 days, his answer never would have came. But he fasted and he prayed for 21 days. And we look at this and I think, man, Lord, that's so true. You got us fasting and you got us prepared. And we've been praying for an answer we didn't even know there was a question to. And I'm telling you, as I'm working this, God says, you need to look at the calendar. So I looked at the calendar. And let me tell you, folks, the day that God had me start our fast was exactly 21 days before the storm. 21 days ahead of time, God prepared us. And we listened, and we yielded, and we surrendered ourselves to His guidance and His teaching. And He's telling us the best things for our life. And we fasted and prayed, and I believe the answer that we have gotten this week is an answer we would not have received without it. You see, when you look at the story of Jesus, and there's a story in there in Matthew as well where the disciples could not deliver a young boy out of demon possession. They couldn't help him. The man brought the boy to Jesus, said, "Your disciples couldn't do anything about this." And so Jesus prayed, and the boy was delivered and set free. And the disciples, they're kind of dumbfounded. Why couldn't we do it? You got to understand, earlier in the gospel, Jesus had already given them the power to pray over the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. He had already given them the power. They had already been seeing miracles take place. But here came one that they could not do anything about. And they didn't understand why. And God answered them. Jesus answered them there in verse 20 of Matthew 17. And He saith unto them, "Because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." I hear people quote this scripture all the time. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. But you need to look at the next verse. Verse 21 says, "But this kind goeth not out save by prayer and fasting." There are some mountains in your life. There are some victories you cannot move, you cannot have, you cannot possess without prayer and fasting. And God impressed that upon us. And so we're praying and we're fasting and we're believing. So here we are this Tuesday, and we're facing this storm and this battle. It's another big day. I sent out a text that morning early. Said, "Remember, folks, as you're fasting and praying for our church, let's pray for baby Kaysen. Let's pray. Let's add this to our fasting. Let's add this to our prayer list." So Tuesday, we started Monday. Monday and Tuesday, our church is fasting and praying. Already been doing it for 21 days. First thing that happened, it was just miraculous, was Kevi got a voicemail from the doctor. She missed the call from the doctor. You think that's not good? It was great, because Kevi had the report on a voicemail that she could listen to over and over and over, and she could play for people. And the doctor, I'm not going to use any names here, but the doctor, as she began to give the report over to Kevin, she began to talk about the different numbers, the different things she's seen with baby Kaysen Grace, talking about the blood work, talking about the oxygen, talking about the acid, talking about, and she's kind of, "Look, man, this number's this number. This number's better. This number's better. This number's better." Everything she's saying. Oh, baby's still critical condition, don't get me wrong. But she's saying, This is improved. And she doesn't understand it at all. This is the same doctor the day before that said, "Man, told Vita, you need to keep praying." And she said, "I didn't stop." Well, this morning the doctor, as she's closing that voicemail out, and she says, "And yesterday I told you that the baby wouldn't live. I told you the baby was going to die. let me just tell you that I'm no longer expecting that, or I'm no longer fearing that death is going to come. Can you imagine when Cavi listened to that voicemail in that hospital room? When I got there and she played that voicemail for me and I got to hear that, what a triumph. It is a doctor testifying about that which cannot happen has happened. Which that cannot be, it's being. That God is doing something that the world says can't be done. Now we're still in critical condition. We still have problems. There's still so many concerns going on with them. There's not anybody in the hospital celebrating here that thinks Kaysen's out of the wood. They don't even believe, even if she was to somehow miraculously survive, you know, her brain would be so severely damaged. Well, listen, a problem on Tuesdays, and this thing about God is we were able to focus on individual prayer things at a time and get victories. Her kidneys were not working at all. And this is a problem. There's two things the doctor told us. Is number one, if her heart stops, we cannot resuscitate her. And number two, if her kidneys do not work, I cannot treat a baby like this in this condition with renal failure. There is no hope. We had to have the kidneys working. I'm going to tell you something. Throughout the course of this day and the course of this week, every single problem presented that we took to God in prayer, every single time God answered. You're in the natural, you're kind of prepared for a setback. But I'm going to tell you, every single day was victorious. The negative reports would come from doctors and unbelievers and different ones, but we just believed the promise of God. And I'm telling you, He did not lie. He was there in the storm. And I want to tell you something. God will position you as well for what is coming your way. And the time for you to be positioned, the time to position yourself, and the time to get strong in your life is before the battle. Armies in, you know, countries do not wait to train their armies once they're attacked. They have an army and a preparation and basic training, and they're prepared beforehand. They're prepared for the battle. And that is the way that it's supposed to be with the Christian. God prepares you every day. Getting in the reading of the Word, getting in time of prayer, getting in time of fasting, it strengthens you to walk in the mighty power of God, that you're able to face the storms that come. Now, if you're in a position and you're in a storm and you didn't prepare, let me tell you something. We serve a God of grace and mercy that still loves you. It may be a little bit more difficult, but He will be there with you in every single storm. You can cast your cares up on Him, your burdens up on Him, and surrender your life to Him. If you've got there off of stupid mistakes and bad things, man, just repent of those things and say, God, I need you. He's faithful. Well, let me tell you something. Here we are, and we're coming to Wednesday now. Our kidneys are starting to work. They're producing some urine. Still not what the urine we need, but they're coming to life. They're beginning to work. And so Kevi's getting excited, and she should be. She's now got Tuesday. She was discharged from her hospital at Hughley and was able to come and be in the room with Case and Grace. I mean, just one day after having this done, she's already out and she's up here, and she should be in bed and should be resting, but she's there and she's up beside that bedside. She's there beside her baby, holding that little hand. And I'm going to tell you something. On Wednesday, we Kevi's excited. The kidneys have produced a little bit. There's a new doctor that comes in. They change shift. A new doctor comes in. This new doctor is very abrupt, very negative, believes for nothing good, and he doesn't want you believing for anything good either. Kevi is excited about some of the numbers, excited about some of the urine she's starting to see, and that doctor just shot her down. Said it doesn't mean the kidneys are working. The kidneys, he called it bladder sweat, just fluid coming out from bladder sweat, just dumping liquid. Doesn't mean the kidneys are working. And his thought was this: listen, why are you so happy? Because even if the baby did survive, that baby is going to have severe brain damage. I mean, that's just this negative doctor. It's the only doctor, I'm going to tell you, that cooks children that we've been to that we didn't really care for. And it's not that he didn't give us good news, because other doctors told us she wouldn't survive. But they told us in a gentle and compassionate way and explaining things, and they didn't try to crush us. But I'm going to tell you what, we just believed and knew that God was in charge of Kaysen, and we knew this, that God did not need the doctor's permission to complete a perfect miracle. And it seemed like every day that it was just one miracle after another. That it was one thing that should not happen that did happen. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy was no match for the power of God. And it is amazing how God can be in these moments. But let me tell you something. God is better than what you see, and so much better, and delivers you from more than you even know. We knew what battle that we were facing. We knew what we were encountering. But I'm telling you, God it was doing so much more behind the scenes. There was other storms and things and attacks the enemy was bringing that we were unaware of, that before they could ever even do anything to us and impact us in a way, God just squashed them. That Thursday, as Vita is sitting there with one of the nurses and is talking to her, she wanted to know how this happened. She wanted to know about the birth and what took place. And so Vita begins to tell her about how everything was great, and all of a sudden we just had a sudden severe placenta abruption, and gave her the story. Kevy wasn't in the room at this time. And that nurse looked at her and said, "Oh, I probably wouldn't tell her that right now, but let me tell you something. You don't just have one miracle in this room. You have two." She said, in a severe, sudden placenta abruption like that, she said, it is very normal that normally what would happen is when that placenta, remember the placenta and the uterus, it's tied together by all these blood vessels. When that suddenly tears and just separates, that mother will hemorrhage and bleed to death in just a couple of minutes. Matter of fact, right across the hall from Case and Grace, there's a little baby on life support in there. She was the result of a placenta abruption, and her mother did not survive. It is a miracle that Kevy survived, and she's healthy. And the doctor, we asked, "How's Kevy?" And she said she lost some blood. But when, of course, we didn't know what placenta abruption really was. But so we may have to give her some. But they didn't even ever have to even give her any blood. It was a miracle. Since that time, we've had another nurse that's got word to Vita. Man, that's the fact that Kevy is alive today is a miracle. I'm telling you, it is just amazing, because it was another storm we never knew we faced. It was another wave that God calmed without us ever feeling the wave against our boat. Let me tell you something, church. God knows how to do things right. He does not do them halfway. So do not settle for just some good news. You need to believe for the whole good story all the way through the end. God has done tremendous things so far to this point. But listen, he's not through. You see, Thursday was also a critical day because of this. They're going to warm up Case into a normal temperature. Whenever she went into this condition on Monday and had the oxygen and all this, they have a new therapy. It's only been out for about 4 years. And it's a therapy where they cool her body to 93.2 degrees. And by cooling the body and the core of the body to that temperature, it means the organs and things require less oxygen and less effort. It gives them an easier time to heal, a time to need less. And so it's a very phenomenal treatment. And actually, one of the nurses said, you know, there's two severe things that we can do, our most drastic measures with babies. One is a heart and lung bypass. The other is this hydrotherapy, cooling therapy. I said, these things are drastic. Because, you know, you're talking about having a body temperature of 93, which is not good. But it is in this moment. It's needed. But the critical time comes when they begin to warm her up. So Thursday was a time for her to begin to warm her up, and they warm them up by a half a degree per an hour. They have to slowly bring her core temperature up. The danger in this moment, though, is that when they do this is when the brain begins to swell. This is when she will begin to have her seizures. It's a very slow process, but listen, everybody prayed. And let me just tell you that all along the way, we're lifting up new prayers, but we are giving praise to God for all the answers He's already given. You know, Revelation, it says that the people overcome by the power of their testimony. We are testifying about everything starting that Monday, all throughout the day, and that Tuesday, we're giving praise to God. Yes, we're still interceding. We still need Him. We're still in critical care, but we're interceding, but we're giving Him praise. Wednesday, we're giving Him praise. Thursday, even though we're looking for this warm-up, we're giving God praise and believing that it's going to be uneventful. And let me tell you something. As they raised her body temperature up, we did not have one single complication at all. Not one single complication at all with the brain, with seizures. I'm telling you that God kept Kaysen on solid footing every single day. And you got to remember, all of this goes against what the medical profession said was going to happen. It does not just happen. It can't happen. But I'm telling you, it did happen. Friday was another big day. I mean, every day is a big day. Every day it's a miracle day for us. Number one, that we have Case and Grace with us. But we're seeing God, man, just do the miraculous every single day. Nurses and doctors cannot explain it. But they've still got to, as excited as they are about what they've seen, they still have to face this next thing because we still have a critical care baby here. Friday morning, the report came that with her level of low red blood cells and low platelets that she has to have internal bleeding somewhere. It's got to be a problem. Another problem presents itself. And on top of that, they need to do an ultrasound of her midsection, and then they needed an MRI of her brain. Now, the MRI is going to show any internal bleeding, but it's also going to show any abnormalities in her brain from being out of oxygen. It's going to show, and not the full extent, but going to show the extent, to a certain degree, of brain damage that she suffered. But in order for them to even do the MRI and to do these tests, they have to get those leads off her head. Remember the leads I told you that they epoxied on? They told Kev, he said, listen, this is going to be uncomfortable. We're going to remove these leads, and she's going to have a lot of open bleeding sores on top of her head because they epoxied those things on. Well, let me tell you something. They took those leads off. She had zero sores. She had zero wounds on top of her head from those leads. I mean, it was just another amazing thing that God did. Then they took her and put her in a mobile life support to take her across out of that building to the next building to do the MRI on her brain. They brought her back in. Of course, we're still waiting. We don't have anything yet that we're going to know on that report yet. But then they go to do the ultrasound, bring in the ultrasound unit, and they're checking her out there in the room, and they're looking for the internal bleeding. I'm going to tell you something. Prayers went up, and Jesus walked across the waters of our storm again. And with each step he takes on the wave, the storm would cease. And so they did this ultrasound, and they're doing it, and she's been at it for a little while. Kevy looks at her and says, well, what do you see? And of course, they can't give you the official report. It's not their job at that moment. And she told her, she says, I'm sorry. She says, I can't tell you anything officially. She just paused for a moment. She said, but what I can say is nothing's jumping out at me. She's basically unofficially telling Kevin, hey, I don't see anything to worry about. I don't see anything of concern there. It was such a great praise report. We're excited about what's going on, but we're still waiting for the MRI to come. About 7 o'clock, I'm downstairs with Larry. We're down just kind of taking a break. Kevin's up in the room. Vita's up in the room. And the MRI report comes in. The MRI shows no signs of any abnormality at all in the brain. The brain looks like a healthy baby's brain. Ultrasound, no bleeding. MRI, no abnormalities. All the levels are coming up. I'm telling you, Kaysen is just doing amazing. Now, whenever her kidneys weren't working, her body retained all this fluid, you know, that it kept putting off with the acid and everything else. She's puffy, she's swelling, and they can't take her off life support as long as she's swelled that way. We're hoping by Monday to be able to get her off of the respirator. Saturday came, and Saturday was just going to be a kind of a relaxing day. Let her just begin to recuperate even more. Saturday morning, we got a picture from Larry, our son-in-law, the baby's father, and he sent us a video. And we're looking at it on our phone, and I see baby Kate, I see her casing, and she's laying there. She's not really doing a lot of moving or cooing or, you know, anything like that. And I thought, well, that's neat, you know. I knew he sent it for a reason, and I just couldn't figure out what the reason was. And Vita's sitting in the recliner next to me. She goes, the respirator's out. She was off life support. The breathing tube was no longer in her. This was Saturday. This wasn't even supposed to be happening because she's been swelling. But the swelling had went down. Matter of fact, a nurse friend of ours texted Vita, said, Vita, says, I have never seen swelling go down that fast ever before. Here is baby Kaysen, and on Saturday, she's off of life support. She's off the respirator. Kevy texted, they're going to take the catheter out around lunchtime. They removed the catheter on Saturday about lunchtime. Now she just has a little oxygen tube is all that, you know, up in her nose. She still has some IVs and things, but they were also going to begin to minimize her blood pressure medicine and seizure medicine and other things. And so Saturday, what an awesome day. We were just looking for a normal I guess you say normal for being an ICU unit, but an uneventful day, and God brought victory after victory after victory. And I'm going to tell you that these are all medical miracles, and the fact that Casey Grace is alive is a testimony to the power of prayer to a living God. Prayer works. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to get excited about the miracle. I want you to get excited about having a God that cares and a God that's able, and we serve the great physician. I want you to get excited about that, but I want you to know that He prepared us for weeks. How would it have been for us without the preparation? Do you want to go unarmed throughout your life? God wants to equip you ahead of the storms. He'll be there with you, but He wants to equip you ahead of the storm. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Listen to me. You got to be strong in His mighty power, not in your own what you think is right. You position yourself to be easily found by God. Be strong in His mighty power. You put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all of the strategies of the devil, all of the storms. What's it say? It says you put on that armor so you can stand firm, and you can stand firm against all the storms of life. Verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against respiratory issues. We're not fighting against brain damage. We're not fighting against acidosis. We're not fighting against placenta abruptions. What we're fighting against is evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Look at verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, or after the storm, you will be standing firm. Praise God. Listen to me. We are standing firm. We put on the full armor of God. We entrusted our life. We surrendered it all. God has empowered us, and He has equipped us, and He has preserved us, and He has been with us through every storm. And that storm came, and I'll tell you what, Satan brought everything he had to bring against Casey Grace, and God overpowered him. God made us victorious. And I'm going to tell you something about you, that storms will come. That is for certain. You're going to face storms in life. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. But I'm going to tell you something. God is very much aware of the when and the what and the how of the storms that are coming your way. And the time to position for them is now. So that when you find yourself in the storm of a lifetime, just as we did, you can know with faith that God is in every storm. God is in every storm. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray right now, Lord, for everyone listening to this sermon, or everyone listening to the podcast. Lord, I don't know what it is that they're encountering. I don't know what it is in life that they're facing. But Lord, I pray right now that they would understand and know that You knew they would be where they are right now, that they would be within the sound of My voice, that they would be hearing this prayer. And Lord, even though this prayer, they may think it's recorded and it wasn't for them, that it is for them. It is a messenger that God sent for this appointed time to them. So, Lord, I lift them up in the name of Jesus right now. Father, I give You praise for all that You've done. I give You praise for the miracles. I give You praise for the blessings, Lord. Father, I thank You so much for Casey Grace's life. I thank You for the testimony that she has. I thank You, God, that You're truly in every storm. But, Lord, I thank You for the preparation that You've given to us beforehand. Lord, right now I pray for everyone within the sound of My voice. God, I know You're aware of their storms, and You know what they are encountering and what they will encounter. God, my heart's desire right now is that they would surrender fully to You. God, that they would surrender their heart, that they would live a life that lines up with the Word of God, with what You declare and what You say, not with what just the church says, Lord, but they would be obedient to Your Word. They'll look different than the world wants them to look like, Lord, but they'll be pleasing to You. God, and I pray that You would give them wisdom, and I pray, God, that You would increase their measure of faith. Lord, I pray that, God, You'd help them to be able to see You walking across the waves of their life right now. Lord, I pray that they would take that same note, Jesus, as You said to disciples, to take courage. I am here. I thank You, Lord, that You're with them right now, and that, Lord, this testimony of Casey Grace is not just for one, but it's for many, and it's to encourage them for greater things in their life. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, and we promise, Lord, to always give you the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.